kind of hardship, some kind of turmoil or trouble was going on for Israel. And David wanted the Lord to rescue them. He was confident in the Lord and in the Lord's provision. And he called people to trust in the Lord, but many did not. From an overview of the passage, we see in verse 1 that David is praying, in verse 2 to 5 that David is calling for trust in the Lord, verses 6 to 7 David is praying again, and verse 8 David is expressing his trust in the Lord. It's praying to the Lord, talking to people, praying to the Lord, expressing his trust. So in verse 1, David addresses people. Before David addresses people in verse 2, he first goes to the Lord. He's in the same situation as everyone else. He's in the same trouble. He's got the same temptations going on. But he goes to God first. He settles with the Lord. He settles his faith and he settles his trust there before the Lord. And then he goes and speaks to the people, calling them to trust in the Lord. That is so wise, isn't it? You know, go to the Lord first, pray first, and then go to people. Imagine if God's church was doing that, where we would first seek the Lord, seek his counsel, pray, settle our faith with him, and then go speak to people, instead of what we normally do, which is just go speak to people and blurt out what we want to say to them, instead of being refined before the Lord in prayer. But that's what David did. He first goes to the Lord. And he prays very assertively, "Answer when I call." And when I first read that, I thought, is this rude? That kind of sounds rude, like, "Answer me when I call," that kind of a thing. But looking at the context and other scriptures, we know that David is not standing before God all arrogant and self-righteous and rude with no reverence. In verse 1, David acknowledges that God is his righteousness. On his own, David knows he is not righteous. God is the holy right one, the righteous one, which means he does what is right and perfect and good and holy. And in a very real way, David is declaring who he is standing before the holy Lord. He is someone who needs to be made righteous. Oh God, my righteousness. And it's because God made David righteous that he so boldly addresses God. David is confident in his relationship with the Lord who is his righteousness. Not David's righteousness, the Lord's. It's not arrogance, but it's confidence. Lord, answer me when I call. And he brings up the past work of the Lord. The Lord has answered requests before, has rescued David, brought relief from distress, proving himself loving and comforting. So with this confidence seen in verse 1 in who the Lord is, and with trust in the faithfulness of the Lord, David pours out his heart. Answer me. Be gracious. Hear my prayer. And in doing this, David completely recognizes that any answer from the Lord is complete, undeserved grace. Be gracious to me, God. Be gracious. In verses 2 to 5, David then turns his attention to people. As Israel was going through this hardship, they did what they've done in the past over and over again, and what we do today. Some of God's people, in the midst of hardship and trial and trouble, they turn away from God. They listen to empty, worthless words. They are seeking after lies, basically, which most likely means they were seeking other gods. David was publicly anointed by the prophet Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 16. So they knew that David was God's chosen one, yet they rejected God's choice, making fun of God's anointed one, King David, and looked for help away from God and his king. So that's what they were doing. Push him aside. Let's look somewhere else. There's an answer to be found elsewhere. But David was calling them to join him in trusting in the Lord. He reminded them in verse 3 that the godly belong to the Lord. God has made the godly belong to him. They are set apart, which is the same word that is used to describe God setting apart Israel when he sent the plagues on Egypt. None of the plagues affected Israel because Israel was set apart for the Lord. Those that are godly, that are covered in God's righteousness, they belong to God. David is God's child. And therefore, the Lord hears David when he calls to him. The Lord listens to his children. There is no hopelessness for God's children because God listens to his children. And we should probably take note here that this kind of thinking that is permeated our culture, which is everybody can pray to the Lord, doesn't matter who you are, what kind of God you worship or idol you worship, the Lord will hear you. Our prayers are with you. Our prayers are with you. The Lord listens to his children, the requests of his children. They are set apart for him, and he listens to them. The prayer that he hears of a sinner worshiping an idol, the most general prayer that he listens to them is, I repent and put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And then the listening really begins. David speaks confidently to those rejecting the Lord and rejecting himself, saying that they are rejecting the one the Lord has set apart as his own, therefore indicating that the ones doing the rejecting do not belong to the Lord. Either you are with God and his anointed one or against. You're on the wide road or the narrow road. You're either worshiping God or you're worshiping the devil or whatever form the devil has. So he calls them, he's calling them to repent and worship the Lord. In verses 4 to 5, the Hebrew that's translated be angry means tremble, shake with rage. And in this context here, it's supposed to be taken as if you do not belong to the Lord, tremble and shake with fear. Be terrified that you are not with the Lord, but with false gods and vain words and lies, all of which will receive what they deserve and have earned, which is eternal hell. Fear the Lord. Tremble with fear that you don't belong to him. Because if you don't belong to him, you're going to get his wrath. We don't like talking this way today. Don't talk about sin. Don't talk about hell. Don't talk about punishment. Don't talk about any of that stuff. We have to. The Bible says it. Tremble with fear if you do not belong to the Lord. It is very, very scary to be in the hands of the sovereign Lord if you're still sitting in your sin. Fear God and stop repeating the sin. Fear God and repent. Ponder God's truth. When you're all by yourself and you have no one around you to impress, and you're quiet and you hear your thoughts and you're still, face the Lord's truth. The righteous are set apart for the Lord. King David is righteous and set apart for the Lord, and the Lord hears him. Turn back to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. Verse 5, and offer right sacrifices. So repent, turn to the Lord, and offer right sacrifices. Sacrifices that the Lord asks for. Sin offerings. Sacrifices of worship. That's what is referred to there in this Old Testament passage of Psalm 4. Do these acts, not as just some religious action, but a heart and a mind that trusts in the Lord. Right sacrifices can only be done from those in right standing before the Lord. So repent and worship and submit to the Lord and give your sacrifices. Us today, because of Jesus the Messiah, because he has come and he has gone to the cross, we look at these verses and say, you are only set apart if you are with Jesus Christ. The Lord only hears those in Jesus. Tremble in fear of the Lord if you are not in Jesus. Left on your own, in your sin, you will receive what you've been working for and deserve, which is hell. Ponder the gospel. Listen to the gospel. Repent. Believe in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection for the salvation of your soul. Lay down your life. Lay down your living as a sacrifice to the Lord. Lay it down. Lay it down. Repent and worship the Lord. That's what we hear on this side of the cross. Salvation in Jesus Christ. After addressing people, David returns to prayer in verse 6 to 7, praying for himself and for the nation. And it's kind of like a summary. Many in the nation have rejected the Lord and the Lord's chosen king. They have no real hope, and so they ask, who will show us some good? Who will help us? How is this trouble, this turmoil going to get any better? And David knows. David knows. So David asks the Lord, lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. These people are so lost. They have forgotten. They need to be reminded over and over again that God is the greatest blessing. So David basically prays the blessing from Numbers 6, verse 24 to 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance, his face upon you and give you peace. He's saying, Lord, they're asking how this can get better. Let your people see you, your presence, your hand. Let the light of your face shine upon us. David is asking this from the Lord because David remembers who the Lord is. Verse 7, he's the one who put incredible joy in David's heart. God, the source of real, lasting, deep, satisfying joy, put joy into David's heart. And it's a joy that is greater than any grain or wine. And this grain or wine is a reference to resources that are here on earth. And this might be exactly what the people of Israel were thinking. They need these resources to make the trouble and the turmoil and the hardship go away. And David is saying, no, the joy of the Lord is even greater than those resources, whatever those resources can bring. The joy from the Lord, the joy of his presence far outlasts and far outweighs anything that the world has to offer. God is relief and rescue and joy and hope. Here we have in this passage in verse 1, beginning with David praying in verse 2 to 5, David calls people to trust in the Lord. Verse 6 to 7, David praying again, and in verse 8, David expresses the trust that he's calling for. The turmoil that's going on is hard. Some had deserted God, rejecting and scoffing at the Lord's anointed king, pursuing other gods, man's words, vain words and lies, asking, where is help going to come from? How is this going to get any better? But David, he's not worrying. He's not worried about the outcome. He committed all to the Lord and went to sleep in peace. Can you imagine the turmoil, in the midst of turmoil and suffering and hardship that you have gone through, that you have experienced? And you just go to bed at night and lay your head down and sleep? That would be awesome. What most of us do, though, is we toss and turn and our brains are turning and, oh, I can't stand what we're in. Lord, save us. David goes to sleep. Numbers 6, verse 26, the Lord lift up his countenance, his face upon you, and give you peace. David had peace. God's presence, the gift of God himself brings peace. He is safety. So in this turmoil, David calls the people of God to trust in the Lord and no one else. Persevere in placing your trust in him. The Lord hears the godly, and in him is found joy, peace, and safety. So how can I grow in trusting the Lord? We have all gone through turmoil and trouble and hardship, and guaranteed more is to come. More is to come. How do we get ready for normal life that includes hardship? How can we get ready to live as people trusting in the Lord? I would say we need to train ourselves to trust in the Lord. Or said another way, we need to strengthen our trust in the Lord. And I think there's two ways in this passage that we are provided in this passage. David's prayers contained who the Lord is and what the Lord has done for David. The first one in verse 1, God of my righteousness. That's what David says. The Lord is the only righteous one. We are sinners. He makes people righteous. Who is the Lord? The Lord makes people righteous. The Lord can take the unrighteous sinner and change them. That's the greatest thing that has ever been done. Taking a sinner and changing them into righteous. Still in verse 1, the one who brings relief from distress, the gracious one, the one who hears me, that's the Lord. That's the Lord. Verse 3, the Lord who sets people apart for himself, they belong to him, he listens to them. So he makes people righteous, he brings relief. Those that are righteous, they belong to him. They are his possession. Verse 6, he's the source of good. He's the one who can bring good. Verse 7, he's the source of joy. His joy far exceeds any joy the world offers. Verse 8, he is safety, therefore he is peace. David reminds himself, basically tells himself who the Lord is, who he is praying to. The righteous one who brings relief and listens to his people, sets them apart, makes them belong to him. He's the source of good, the source of joy, the source of safety, the source of peace. That's who David is praying to. The second thing David does is he remembers what the Lord did in the past. Verse 1, you have given me relief when I was in distress. Verse 7, you have put joy in my heart. Verse 8, you give me peace and safety. David brings up the Lord's past involvement, the rescues, the answered prayer, the righteousness, joy, peace, safety. David brings up in his praying what the Lord has done to him and for him. So why does David do this, bringing up who God is and what God has done? To train himself to trust the Lord, or call it strengthening his faith in the Lord. Who is he praying to? The righteous, holy Lord who makes sinners righteous. What has he done? Brings relief, rescues people, makes them righteous. We have got to train ourselves to trust the Lord by reminding ourselves who he is according to his self-revelation, which is the Bible. Not according to your nice imaginative work that you can do, but according to who he said he is, and remembering how he has answered our prayers so many, many times. And of course, the greatest thing that he has ever done for us is forgiven our sins and made us born again and brought us into his family. I've heard myself and many Christians pray with hardly any trust in the Lord. We just say the same thing over and over, saying these great prayers, yet revealing hopelessness and frantic worry as we pray. We'll say things like, all I can do is pray, as if that's the last option. You've exhausted everything else and you've come to the end, and all I can do is pray. It's all I can do. That's it. Lord, I don't know what to do. Just help, Lord. Oh, Lord, just make it happen. Just. The word just drives me nuts. Just do this, Lord. Just. And then we sit in fear and worry. This is what I ask myself. Edgar, who are you praying to? To the Lord or to some guy down the street? You're praying to the creator of the world, the only one who can save people from their sin, the only one who can bring people into eternal paradise, the paradise that belongs to him, the only one who truly makes us alive and live life. That's who we are praying to, and there is so much more to him in the Bible than what I just said there. He's done so much for us, and we've got to remember some of those specific things, the things we've asked for, and the things he just provides for us in sustaining us. We need to train ourselves in the reality of who God is and what he has done, so that when we pray, our praying is based on reality, on truth, not on feelings in the moment. Feelings that come and go all day long. I have a series of feelings going on throughout the day that come and go. Who cares about those feelings when I come to the Lord? Hear me right in that, okay? Well, come to the Lord. I don't come to him, oh, I feel like God is sovereign today. Who cares if you feel like he's sovereign today? The Bible says that he is sovereign. You get what I'm saying? We have got to train ourselves to base our praying on reality of who God is and what he has done. So we come and say, Lord, because of the answered prayer in those specific situations in the past, because of who you have revealed yourself to be in your word, I come to you and I ask. This past week, I was praying for something very specific. And as I was praying, I knew that I doubted that God would do anything in that situation. Yet I was praying. I don't know what that was. You know. Then I did something crazy. I actually listened to what was going on in my head instead of just doing the thing that I tell myself I should do. Just pray. You should just pray. You should just pray. I actually stopped and I listened to my unbelief. I listened to my mistrust in the Lord. And I began to think that through. Why am I not trusting God with this particular thing? I had trusted him in the past and he had done his wonderful work. So why do I doubt him right now? Why do I doubt his love and ability? What am I basing my unbelief on? Because it's not based on who God is and what he has done in the past. I was thinking, and maybe many of us think, that ignoring our unbelief is the way to go. That's what faith is. You ignore everything and just force yourself to believe. It doesn't matter what you think. That's nonsense. What you believe is in your heart and your mind, so of course it matters. We need to face that unbelief with the truth of God's word. and with God's work that he has done in our lives. We need to train ourselves in that way instead of ignoring unbelief and letting it freely flow around our hearts and our minds, working its way into everything. Do the work of training yourself in truth. Start reminding yourself of who the Lord is and what he has done in the past. Now I'm going to try walking through this passage and try to personalize it, knowing that the Messiah has come and we are found in him, and what we can do when turmoil and hardship and terrible things are going on, okay? You might spot different things that I miss. I hope you do. But let's look at the passage. Grab your Bible. Look at the passage. Psalm 4. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Lord, you have made us righteous. I am found in Christ. His righteousness has been put on me, and it is no longer Edgar on his own, but Edgar in Christ. O God of my righteousness, you have given me relief when I was in distress. Over and over, God has rescued me through a series of multiple things. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. Anything you do toward me, Lord, is graciousness. Oh men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? Will Edgar look stupid for trusting in the Lord, look like a fool for trusting in the Lord and believing in the gospel? Of course he will, because the gospel looks like foolishness to the world. How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? People that are lost, how long will they chase after emptiness, after material things, after reputation, after this thing, after that thing, and continually sidestepping anything the Lord says? They need to know, and we need to know, that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. I am in Christ. I've been set apart for him. And the Lord is a listener to Edgar, who is in Jesus Christ. Just think about that. The Lord listens to his children. The Lord listens to Edgar. Some of you aren't listening to me right now, but the Lord listens to me. That's huge. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Repent. Tremble if you do not belong to God in Jesus Christ. If you think that you're a nice person and that guarantees you something from the Lord or God owes you something, repent, because that's not true. Repent and accept the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, his life, death, and resurrection. Repent. Ponder the gospel. Ponder the gospel. And then offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. Lay down your life. Submit to the Lord. Accept the work of the Lord. And lay down your life as a living sacrifice on the altar of the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Hey, when is this situation going to get any better? Who's going to help us? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? Why am I not getting any relief? Oh Lord, lift the light of your face upon us. Oh Lord, lift the light of your face upon us. Let us again know that the Lord is sovereign, that this situation is under the sovereign control of the Lord. Lord, you have put more joy in my heart than they have in their grain and wine that abounds. The answer is not found in money or in new relationships or in a new house or moving to this place or moving to that place and doing this and doing that. The answer is not found there. The world tells you that the answer is found in yourself. Be true to yourself and chase after resources and build yourself up. That's all nonsense. It's false. It doesn't lead anywhere. It doesn't deliver on any promise of joy that it carries with it. Zero zero joy is found in that. It is not lasting, but joy in the Lord goes down deep into our souls and stays there no matter the situation. That is the joy of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, belonging to the Lord in Jesus Christ. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. The Lord is our safety. The Lord is our peace. Our minds can slow down. Our hearts can be at rest with faith in Jesus Christ. Anxiety can be removed. We can have freedom from that with trust in the Lord, not in the situation or anything else connected to the situation, but trust in the Lord. The answer is the Lord. Peace is in the Lord. Safety is in the Lord. In Exodus chapter 15, I was reading it this week, and there in chapter 15, Israel made songs to remember and record what God did and who he is. We need to take their lead and do the same. So church, trust God. Meditate on who he is according to his word. Put your confidence in the Lord. Build your trust in him. He won't abandon you. He is our joy. He is our peace. No matter the circumstances, remember who the Lord is according to the Bible, and remember what he has done for you. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray together and then celebrate communion. Father, we hear these words and we go, yes, amen, amen. And we know that we are going to be leaving this building and going back into the normal routine of our lives. And it's difficult. And we have a difficult time of trusting you because we get so preoccupied and so distracted with other things. Lord, help us. Help us to not veer, not to chase after empty promises, empty words. Lord, would you please remove the ideas that we've come up with about who you are, please remove that. And please draw us to your word, that our understanding of who you are is based on your word, that we are basing it in reality of you. Father, help us live in truth, in your truth. We desperately need your help to do this, but we know that you can. Because nothing is impossible for you, and you love us. You love us. So thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes to your truth. And thank you that we together can celebrate communion. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.